الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا أدلكم على ما ينجيكم من عدوكم ويدر لكم أرزاقكم؟ تدعون الله في ليلكم ونهاركم، فإن الدعاء سلاح المؤمن. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. My respected elders and brothers, around the world today, there is two main worries that people are experiencing. One is physical insecurity, and the other is financial instability. Everyone is worried that no one must harm them, no one must harm their family members, no one must make an effort to destroy their homes. This is one common worry. You know what is happening around the world. Daily people are living insecure lives. In our own country, our foreign brothers are being targeted, living insecure lives. Similarly, due to the condition in the world, around the world, people are suffering from financial instability. People are worried, prices are going up, difficult to meet our ends at the end of the month, to look after our families. This is a general worry and concern amongst everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a perfect human being. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought a perfect deen, which is a solution to every problem in his time and right till the day of Qiyamah. And amongst the solutions which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought for the ummah, one of the most important and effective solutions is the amal of dua. In the khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that dua is the solution to these two problems and worries that the ummah is facing today. ألا أدلكم على ما ينجيكم من عدوكم ويدر لكم أرزاقكم. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, should I not show you such an amal, such an action which will save you from your enemies? This is a solution for the physical insecurity. ويدر لكم أرزاقكم, and it will increase your risk and your sustenance for you. The solution to financial instability. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, تدعون الله في ليلكم ونهاركم. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate to Allah ta'ala in abundance during the day also and during the night. Silahul mu'min, for verily dua is the weapon of a believer. More effective and more powerful than any other weapon in the world is the weapon of dua, which every one of us has with us. The question now arises, many of us are making dua. The pious amongst us, our senior ulama kiram, mashayikh al-idham, those who are striving in the path of Allah, they are making dua. But despite making dua for many years now, currently and before, we are not seeing the effect of the dua. We are not seeing Allah's help coming. We are not seeing the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the reason? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as he was a Nabi of da'wat and inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was a Nabi of dua also. The day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to the people. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. He would move amongst the people, swim amongst the people, inviting the people to Allah. And the night of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a night of dua. Whole night was spent in dua. So both parts of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are important, and both are means of hidayat. So just as in the words and statements of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there is hidayat and guidance, our ulama ikram explain, even in the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there is hidayat and guidance. In one dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned and sought protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from four things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, I seek protection from that knowledge which is not beneficial. Wa min qalbin la yakhsha, from that heart which does not humble itself in front of you. Wa min nafsin la tashba, from that nafs and desires which are not satiated, which are not satisfied. And the last part of this dua, which is linked to our topic, وَمِن دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهَا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest human being to step from the earth, he is making dua for protection from such a dua which is not accepted in Allah's court. What this explains to us, there are certain duas that we will make We will cry to Allah. We will supplicate to Allah. But Allah Ta'ala will not accept the dua from us. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sought protection from such a dua. The question now arises, why our dua not being accepted? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seek protection from such a dua? So, from the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ulama kiram explained that there are six obstacles. Six obstacles which prevent the dua of a person being accepted. Three are internal, linked to the dua itself, how the dua is done. And three are external aspects in our life which prevent and become obstacles to our dua being accepted. Regarding the internal aspects of our dua, from the adab of the dua, when making the dua, we have to protect ourselves from these three aspects. Otherwise, the ulama ikram explained, the first is impatience. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ. Your dua will be accepted as long as you don't hasten. يَقُولُ دَعُوتُ فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. A person is saying, I'm making dua, but my dua is not being accepted. So that reaction and that mindset that I'm making dua, so much dua I'm making, every day I'm making dua. Every day after salah I'm making dua, tahajjud time I'm making dua. So that impatience is an obstacle to dua being accepted. Realize and understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised in the hadith that every dua of a believer is ultimately accepted. Maybe we will not see the effect of its acceptance in this world, but there is no doubt it's a very great ibadat. Very, very great ibadat dua. And every amal, every ibadat we do will get us some reward. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith explained how great is shay'un akrama ala Allah min ad-du'a. There is no amal more honorable, more respectable in the sight of Allah than dua. Person of the world, you ask him one time, he'll give you. Second time, he may get a bit irritated and give you. Third time, he might give you just for the sake of chasing your way. And you go to him, he will physically remove you from his presence. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is not who our Allah is. We will become angry when the people come and ask us. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. The one who does not ask Allah, Allah becomes angry with that person. Allah wants us to ask Him again and again. Dua is a very, very unique amal, because dua is an expression of one's humility. Person is humble, that is why he will ask his needs of Allah Ta'ala. If a person is proud, he will say, I don't need Allah, I can do it on myself, on my own. So this first obstacle to the du'as being accepted is impatience. Because every du'a is accepted. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَدْعُو بِدَعْوَةٍ وَلَا قَطِيعَةُ رَحْمٍ. No Muslim makes du'a. No Muslim makes du'a for anything, as long as the du'a is not for something wrong. Example, making du'a for some sin, making du'a to break family ties. إِلَّا أَعْطَوْ بِإِحْدَى مِثَلَاثٍ. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the person will be granted one of three things. إما أن يعجل له دعوته. Either his dua will be accepted immediately. Alhamdulillah, many of us sometimes we make dua and we see the dua being accepted. إما أن يدخر له في الآخرة. Or it will be reserved for him in the hereafter. He won't get it here. When he goes in the akhirah, and he will see what Allah has kept in store for him there, he will wish that none of his duas were accepted here. And the third is إما أن يصرف عنه من السوء مثلها. Or either some harm, some difficulty was coming his way, in replacement of that dua, Allah removed that difficulty. So every dua is accepted. We should not be impatient. We should have hope in Allah. And Allah knows best what is best for us. Allah will give to us from the three options what is best for us. So this is the first obstacle, internal obstacle. When we make dua, we should not be impatient. Secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَاهِمٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, know well, that Allah does not accept a dua from a heart which is unmindful and heedless. We are making dua to Allah Ta'ala, but our mind is somewhere else. Our mind is at home. Our mind is in a business. Sometimes after the Fard Salah, the Imam makes dua. The Imam is picking up his hands to remind us to make dua. He's not making dua on behalf of us. So we just pick up our hands and just leave it as that. And when the Imam says Amin, we say Amin. Then we're not making dua. We are just following the Imam in what he is doing. The Imam is reminding us that we have to make dua now. That is why sometimes they start off loudly and then remain silent. So because they are making dua, you also must make dua now. It's an indication to you to make dua. Just raising your hands behind the Imam is not dua. Dua requires us to be focused, to ask Allah. So if a person is unmindful, his hands is raised, his mind is somewhere else, his mind is in the shop, his mind is at home, his mind is somewhere else, and that dua is not accepting Allah's court. So we have to correct ourselves. Each one of us have to make an effort to correct that my dua will not be such a dua where my heart is not there. Can you imagine somebody comes to us and he's down, he needs assistance. We are able to assist him. But when he comes to present his request in front of us, he's looking somewhere else. Imagine he's talking to us, but he's looking there. Or while he's talking to us, now he knows this is an important time, I need to get my work done. Now his phone rings, he picks up the phone, he's still looking at you, but he's talking on the phone. Example, what will be our reaction? This person is not serious about this matter, because he's not interested in asking, he's just coming for the sake of asking. Imagine we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our mind is somewhere else. So it's not considered to be a dua, even though it has the outer form of dua, it's not dua, because we are not, our heart is not in the dua, we are not focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala commands us, Udu'u Rabbakum tadarru'u wa khufya. Make dua to Allah in humility, lowering yourself. For you to be humble and lower yourself, you have to be in the dua. Without being in the dua, you cannot be humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second obstacle to our duas being accepted. That is, you are unmindful, you are heedless, we are just sometimes you are just saying the words, but you don't know the meaning. That is why dua is allowed in any language. The reason being, not everyone understands Arabic. Best is you make dua using the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with understanding. We go to the ulama ikram, we ask them, what does dua mean? What the meaning we read in Arabic is best. But if we cannot, then we can make dua in any language, our language. Why? Because we have to know what we're asking. We can't be reading a dua like how we're reading something in Arabic which we don't know what it means. We have to know what it means. That is why we should make dua in such a second obstacle. The third internal obstacle is that making dua without yaqeen and conviction that this dua will be accepted. Making dua, but in our mind we're saying, I'm not sure if this will get accepted. Maybe. In the acceptance of the dua, this is what does not get the dua accepted in Allah's court. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a condition that you are convinced that Allah will accept it. It's just that when Allah will accept it, how Allah will accept it, that Allah's hikmat and wisdom. But definitely it's accepted. As we mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guaranteed every dua's acceptance. So these were the three internal obstacles. Each one of us should try to make dua in the correct manner with the adab, and avoiding these three obstacles, otherwise our dua's will not be accepted. Externally, out of the dua, what are the obstacles which prevent dua's being accepted? So the first and most important is that we have to refrain from sins. A person who is a sinner, who is involved in the disobedience of Allah, is the enemy of Allah. Enemy asks you for something, you're not going to grant it to him. When a person is involved in sin, he's like waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can a person who wages war against someone day after asking for something? So we have to, first step to our du'as being accepted is that we have to refrain from sin. We have to make tawbah. Ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness from our sins. Only then will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sins, accept our du'as. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, there was a lot of difficulties. So the people went out and they went to cry in the Maidan. They went with the young children, with the animals, with all things that are means of getting du'as accepted. And they made du'a to Allah. But du'a was not getting accepted. So wahi came to Musa alayhi salam that informed the people, you'll have come out in a condition when your clothes are najis, your clothes are impure. The hands that you are raising in front of me have shed blood, impermissible blood. You have involved yourself in so many wrongs. How in this condition are your du'as going to be accepted? So first step before making a du'a is to make tawbah. To ask Allah's forgiveness, to refrain from sins. Then only will our du'as be accepted. Otherwise, sins and accepting the du'as do not go together. From among the sins which specifically Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about, which prevent du'as being accepted, are two. And these two are very, very important aspects to worry about. The first is haram food, haram income, consuming of haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Inna Allah tayyibun, la yaqbalu illa tayyiba." Allah is most pure. Allah only accepts that which is pure. Day after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Allah Ta'ala has commanded the believers with what He has commanded the prophets. Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ar-rusulu, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihah. That, O messengers, eat that which is pure and do good deeds. The Ulama Ikram explained the direct effect of halal is halal amal, good amal. And the direct effect of haram is a person involved himself in wrong. And Allah Ta'ala, another ayat of Quran commands the believers with the same command. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the incident of a person. He said there was a person who was traveling. And as he was traveling, his body became dusty. His hair became disheveled. And he had a need now to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he started making dua. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, oh my Rabb, oh my Rabb. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ, his food was haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ, his clothes were haram. وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, he was nourished from haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ, how is it possible for Allah to accept his dua? This hadith is very unique because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned all the signs of a person whose dua will be readily accepted. Musafir's dua is accepted. Person is downtrodden, person is dusty, person is disheveled. Even human beings will feel sorry for him. How sorry Allah will feel for him. So he had all the outer form of someone whose dua will readily be accepted. But because of the haram income, the food was haram, one of two meanings. Either the actual food he ate was haram, or the wealth he used to purchase the food was haram. Either the actual clothing was there, wasn't permissible clothing, or the wealth he used to buy the clothing was impermissible. And his body was nourished with haram. For haram food had entered his body. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ الْذَلِكَ, how is it possible that Allah will accept the dua of such a person? Respect our brothers, let us think carefully. How much concern do we have today? What goes into our mouths? What goes into our bellies? What goes into the bellies of our children? How easily it for us to fall into haram? How easy for us to fall into doubtful? Allah has blessed us with abundance. Despite that, we don't show much concern. One is the actual food we are eating. And what about the way our income is coming from? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, every person will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will not be able to move a step away from that point until he answers 5 questions. Everyone will have to stand in front of Allah ta'ala. He cannot move. No feet can move on that day. From these 5 questions, first question, how did you spend your life? Every moment of our life we have to answer for. Specific part of our life, which is the most important part, how did you spend your youth? Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, which is applicable to our topic, where did you earn your wealth that is necessary to be halal? And where did you spend your wealth? Many people have worry, the halal income must come. But where is it being spent? Is it being spent in that part, in those places where Allah is happy, or is it being wasted? The weddings that are expenses which are go into the millions, homes that are being increased in size and being decorated beyond the need, all the places where that wealth that we got halal, where is it being spent? Because we are responsible for both where it came from and how it's, where it's going to, where it's being spent. And the last is, how much did you practice on the knowledge that you learned? So my respected elders and brothers, the income you have to worry about. The actual income, where it's coming from? Are we doing someone down? Are we deceiving someone? Are we exposing the product completely? If there is a fault, are we telling the customer when he's coming? We are just bypassing it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day walks into the market of Madina Munawwara and a sahabi is selling grain. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at the grain was dry on the top. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand into the grain and he felt moist grain at the bottom. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that sahabi, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, whoever deceives us is not from amongst us. So we have to see, are we deceiving in any way? Are we paying our employees correctly according to what the time they are spending and doing work? Or are they giving extra time and we are still giving the same? All these things, questions we have to pose to ourselves, because it's all having a direct effect on our income, on the wealth that we are earning. When that wealth is tainted, when that wealth is spoilt, it became an obstacle for our dua being accepted. So this was one sin which specifically Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, that is an obstacle to a dua's being accepted. And the second, which is very, very important, and which generally the ummah at large is lax towards, is the effort of making, commanding towards good and forbidding from evil. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is a narrator, our beloved mother. She says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the house one day. And I could see from his face that something serious had occurred. He didn't speak to anyone, and he entered the masjid. He ascended the minbar, فحمد الله وأثنى عليه. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of his praises. And thereafter, he made gave a khutbah, very, very short khutbah, but very important khutbah. He said, يا أيها الناس, O people, إن الله تعالى يقول لكم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I thank you. This is a hadith of Qudsi. Words of Allah ta'ala on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah ta'ala yaqul lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I thank you. Muru bil ma'ruf wa nahu anil munkar. Command towards good and forbid from evil. Command towards good, forbid from evil. قَبْلَ أَن تَدْعُوا فَلَا أُجِيبَ لَكُمْ وَتَسْأَلُونِي فَلَا أُعْطِيَكُمْ وَتَسْتَنْصِرُونِي فَلَا أَنْصُرَكُمْ فَمَا زَادَ عَلَيْهِنْ حَتَّى نَزَلْ. As Aisha Rulana says, he only said these words and he descended the member. Very, very short khutbah, but very serious khutbah. He said, Allah Ta'ala is saying, command towards good and forbid from evil. Before such a time comes, you will make dua to me, I will not accept your dua. You will ask me for something, I will not grant it to you. You will seek assistance from me, and I will not assist you. We can all ask ourselves, today, we are making dua to Allah. The dua will not be accepted. We need have needs. We are presenting our needs in Allah's court. Our needs are not getting fulfilled. We have people who are attacking the believers, and we are asking Allah's help against the disbelievers, but Allah is not assisting us. One very key reason is because ourselves have not taken the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam seriously. This effort is not restricted to a certain group of people, certain individuals. Every single ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been granted dual responsibility. He must get Jannat himself. That means he must bring complete deen in his own life. All the commands of Allah, all the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Together with that, not after that, together with that, is that he has to make a concerted effort on the people around him. Every father is responsible for his child. Every father is responsible for the woman in his home. Every person of a community is responsible for the people of his community. And ummat at large is responsible for the entire ummat. How every single person can come on to complete deen. We all know the condition. We don't speak about wrongs because we don't want wrongs to spread. We don't need to express what is happening around the world. But wherever we will go in the path of Allah. We will visit different places within our country, out of our country. We will see the condition of the people are deteriorating daily. What we didn't believe before is in front of us today. So worry and concern should come for ourselves first. That how the 100% deen will come in my life. All the commands of Allah, all the sunnahs of Rasulullah in my life, all the prohibitions at the same time. How the commands of Allah to come in the life of every believer. How the sunnah of Rasulullah will come to every believer. And how the prohibitions, for that we have to make effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in our country. Allah has revived all the efforts of deen to the barakat and the blessing of our mashaykh. Those who came in the early days, who made sacrifices in the early days, all the efforts, whether it's effort of tabligh, where we go in the path of Allah, we meet people for the sake of Allah, whether it's effort of the madrasa, the maktab, which has become an example for the entire world today, whether it's effort of Islam, where our mashaykh are correcting us, every single effort, Allah Ta'ala has blessed our country to the optimum level. We have to see how we can put ourselves into this effort. Because it's our need, and it's the need of the ummah. If we will not link ourselves despite having the access to it, what answer we will have to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? If you travel the world, there are people in the world who never met one Jamaat in their life. They never saw one Buzurg in their life. They never had the opportunity of learning by one Alim in their life. They may have some excuse in the court of Allah. But today, with all the access that we have, what excuse will we have in the court of Allah? So it's very, very important, respected brothers. Our du'as need to be accepted. For our individual selves, and the ummah has a demand over us that by us making effort and correcting ourselves and making dua, that dua needs to be accepted for the, on behalf of the ummah. But in order for that to happen, we have to remove these obstacles of our life. Again, we will just recap before we complete. There are three obstacles to our duas being accepted within dua. It would be impatient. Making dua and saying that our dua is not going to be accepted, so what's the use making dua? Secondly, having yaqeen and conviction that definitely is accepted, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned one of three ways of acceptance. Either we'll get what we're asking for, or it will be delayed for us to akhirat, or some evil will be removed that was intended, that was supposed to come by our way. And the third is, we make dua mindful, focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not unmindful. And the three obstacles, external, out of the dua, one is we have to remove sins from our life. Person who is disobeying Allah and making dua, that dua will not be accepted. Secondly, we have to make an effort to correct our income. Halal income, halal food. What goes in will have an effect on what comes out. If halal goes in, halal actions will come out. If haram and doubtful goes in, haram and doubtful actions will come out. And last but not least, this great responsibility which the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam granted from the side of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, from the side of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No more Nabi to come. No one else is going to make effort. That effort is our responsibility. To make effort on ourselves firstly, 100% in our own lives. And at the same time to make effort on others. When we will do this, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will protect us. Remember, if we don't make effort, we may be pious today, we may be dindar today. But how long this dindari will remain? Will it transfer to our family members? Will it transfer to the next generation? We will conclude one example, one alim gave for us to understand. Just say, Allah protect us all, protect all areas. Just an example. One side of Palok, a house caught catches on fire. One part. Far away from us, but we can see the smoke. If every one of us here, who is 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers away from that place, say, it doesn't affect us. It's not going to harm us. We don't worry about it. So no one worried about it. From one house, it went to the next house, third house. At the end of the night, it will reach our house. Those who suffer the consequence of the fire. But if everyone got together, we have to put off that fire, and they went immediately. One house, maybe part of that house only will get burnt. People of that house and the belongings, most of it will get saved. That person got saved, but actual fact, who you saved? You saved yourself. Similarly, our ulama ikram say this effort of meeting people for the sake of Allah, reminding people about Allah, correcting the wrongs, saving the people from the wrongs, showing them the right, is like putting off that fire. We are firemen. We have iman, the water of iman to put out the fire of sin, put the fire of kufr and shirk. But if we are relaxed, imagine the firemen are relaxed when there's a fire. Everyone's house will burn down. So this effort of knocking on the doors is to awaken the firemen, remind them that fire of sin, that fire of shirk and kufr, which is few doors away, if we are not worried about it, and we're not going to make effort to remove it, then one day, Allah forbid, it will enter our homes. And today it is entering our homes. Our children are being affected, we're not realizing. Our wives are being affected, we're not realizing. Unfortunately, sometimes we come to the situation, the husband is in the masjid, he is pious, he is in dindar, but at his home, there is fire burning, but he doesn't realize. So we have to make a concerted effort, how we can link ourselves to the effort of deen, whatever extent we can, starting with ourselves and our homes, but together with that is also our responsibility around us. We will strive in the path of Allah, we will make effort. Minimum, on the day of Qiyamah, we can tell Allah Ta'ala that we tried. But if we do not do anything, and the evil spreads around us, on the day of Qiyamah, we won't have an answer to present Allah's court. May Allah Ta'ala grant me tawfiq wasi, and grant us all tawfiq wa amal. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillah.